Welcome to another great episode of Stick Lake Glue Radio. I am your host, Jim Palmer, the Dream Business Coach. I'm here to help you build a more profitable business faster. Who doesn't want that? This is a podcast to learn about how you can create your dream business so you too can live your dream lifestyle. I'm the founder and creator of the Dream Business Academy and the Dream Business Coaching and Mastermind Program. I coach entrepreneurs and small business owners how to create an amazing business that lets them live the lifestyle they want. I'm really excited about this week's show. My special guest is serial entrepreneur Damian Lupo, and I'm going to introduce him officially, and then we're going to have a fun chat. So over the last quarter century, Damian Lupo has started and owned more than 30 different companies, including an insurance agency, a precious metals firm, a venture capital company, a financial consulting firm, and more than a dozen real estate investment and development companies. He's also the founder of Yokido, hope I pronounced that right, his own martial art studio, and holds three other black belts. Damian is a five-time author and sought-after financial consultant for accredited investors and business owners. Damian's personal philosophy centers on self-responsibility and a conviction that the only path to freedom is through candor, growth, and a big vision. Damon is also a big client of Interview Connections, which is my daughter's company. We both are veterans of doing like a gazillion interviews a year. Damon, how are you doing today?
I'm doing awesome, Jim. It's great to be here.
Hey, man, I've heard a lot about you from Jessica, and I know as you and I are recording this week's show, you guys will be together in Florida at PodFest. Is that the first time you've met Jessica?
It's the first time I've met her 3D face-to-face. We've met virtually, and you get to know a lot of people, and then all of a sudden there's an opportunity to meet them face-to-face, and it's a very strange experience because you get used to hearing them and seeing them but not actually being in the same actual room.
Yeah, the whole technology piece, like I do most of my coaching calls on Skype video, and I got a gigantic monitor. I think somebody's head's actually bigger than they were in person, but you really get to know somebody. You also have to control the eye rolls once in a while because you realize you're on camera too. I did not say that out loud. Anyway, man, you got quite an extensive entrepreneurial background. I'm just curious, is entrepreneurialism in your DNA? Did you have parents that run entrepreneurs, or how did that get started?
It's funny, when you were reading the bio in the background, all I thought of, man, that guy sounds really busy. He sounds like, his plate is really full. But that was part of my growing up. I remember watching my dad doing deals up in Alaska. He was kind of a wheeler dealer and had a little pawn shop type of thing when I was a baby back in the 70s. And so I saw it, I got a little taste of it, and so my first foray into that was buying and selling Nintendo games, and it really stuck because I realized you could find something that you were good at that really touched your talents and your passions, and for me that was Super Mario Brothers, and I loved it, and I could make money doing it, and I thought, wow, this is like the golden trifecta, the passion, the power of the market, and the ability to make money with something that I was good at. So if you can get those three things that together, then it works. And I bumbled into it when I was 11, so that was the beginning of it.
So did you end up going to college? Did you ever have a job? How did you actually start your first business?
I had a bunch of different – I mean, I've basically worked on every field imaginable with different jobs and different side gigs where I was doing my side hustle as a kid, and that really has never stopped. It's just, if anything, it's intensified as the years have gone on. I did pretend to go down the normal path with college and did that four times. So I dropped out four times, and it didn't stick at all. It was the most unsticky thing ever. In fact, I was asked to leave school – because I started up a bookstore in my dorm room, and I was thinking, oh, this is cool. It worked for Michael Dell, and maybe it'll work for me. I could be the bookstore of academia. I was a little early to the Amazon game, but it worked, and it worked so well that I was putting the bookstore on campus out of business, and the president of the school called me in. Yeah, he said, you can't do this. They're going to leave. So either you have to stop or you have to leave. And I said, well, I'm not going to stop because I'm paying for school. And he said, you're not going to be invited back. So I finished that one up, finished up the business, and within a week had paid for school and realized I really shouldn't be in this normal space. I need to be out there creating, being a financial artist. and an entrepreneur was my path. And so to fight that, going down a path of being an employee, being a cog in a system, was just like it was pushing water up a hill. It didn't really work.
So you made the smart decision that says, I'm not going to continue to go to college, and even if you're paying for it, maybe have a little debt, but come out with 4 years and hope to get an entry-level job somewhere when you already figured out how to make six figures, my guess, doing what you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, once you get a little taste of it, it's really hard to go back. And even after you have an experience like I did in the 2000s where my real estate business got really big and then blew up, it took a few years for me to recover to the point where I was able to have the power and strength to even go back out and look at real estate again. But it doesn't leave you. And so it's really just, I think you're killing your soul and your spirit if you don't acknowledge who you really are. And being an entrepreneur is not like being a plumber or a carpenter. Like it's something deep in your DNA. It's like pretending you're not a frog if you're a frog. You are a frog. So, I mean, we are entrepreneurs, and we just really have to embrace that and run with it.
Yeah, when I've been in business 15 years now, and I remember when I started, my first year was what I call revenue free. So even though I had no revenue, I had a glossy business card which said I was the president and founder of my own corporation. And I swear I couldn't imagine working for anybody else at that point. I mean, no matter what I had to do, I was going to figure out a way to do it, because working for somebody else had zero appeal.
Yeah, I'm the same way. And when even recently, back in 2010, I went and volunteered as in a political campaign in Connecticut. So it was funny because that was basically an employee without pay on purpose, which is a little silly, but it was something I cared about. And I went out there and I got fired because I am not wired that way. I was over there trying to recreate politics, and I wanted to sue the federal government. And I had all these great ideas, at least they were great in my mind. And they were going, no, there is a system around running a campaign. You do it this way. And all these people were career politicos, where they would just go into a campaign, they do it for a little while, then they go to the next campaign, and their job was to not make a mistake, which is really the whole idea behind most big corporations, at least that's the ones that aren't really going to – they're not going to thrive and prosper because you need the mistakes. These people didn't want to make mistakes, and I was willing – I was playing to win, as entrepreneurs do. We play to win. We don't play on defense. And so I did not last. I got totally just canned, and I pretended I didn't get canned until I was really honest about what had happened, and that was that I'm not meant to be inside of an organization where I can't create and be free to paint on my canvas.
Yeah. So, you know, you got a lot of things going. I was checking out on Amazon. You've written 5 books, which is pretty cool. It looks like, you know, one of the things you're best known for is to help people have a good retirement. You've got a, you know, financial background. Was that mostly through the real estate, or how did you kind of get well known in that niche?
No, it was kind of an accident. There, people started coming to me when I was in the middle of real estate, when I was doing my investing and had my development companies, and they started asking questions about their money and what they should do or what they could do and what their options were. And a lot of times it was really fundamental. It was just their belief systems, their psychology around money and finance. And they would start off asking, how do I invest in property? And then what we would find out is that their psychology around security and wealth and things was so jacked up that we had to go backwards and start at the beginning with their foundational belief systems and their values. And then once we rewired them, reinvented their whole thinking, then we could start talking about the property. And one of the things that people had really bought into that I can't stand, it's the reason my company is in business today, is that they've bought into this idea that the end all be all for wealth and retirement and financial freedom is pouring all of these assets, all this cash we have throughout our working life, into these mutual funds and these 401ks, and Wall Street will take care of us. We'll wake up at 60 years old, and somehow we're going to have all these millions of dollars that are going to be waiting for us, that we can have this happy money magazine lifestyle. You know, we see the cover with people walking on the beach, and we've bought into this thing. And the truth is that doesn't happen. Even if we were to find ourselves at age 60 and we have $10 million in the bank, what I've found consistently year after year with all the people I've worked with is that there's a fear around, I might lose that. And because they don't have the confidence that they can actually create it, because it was created in this black hole, this black box that they don't understand, they have no confidence. And And really, at that point, they're playing not to lose, which means they're rarely willing to do anything. And whatever they are willing to do, they're still nervous every day that they're going to lose the money. So really, it needs to be rethought about in terms of what retirement means and our participation in it. So the company and all the work I do today is helping people understand that there's a different vehicle and a different approach so that they can build the confidence muscle and stop being subject to the whims of Wall Street.
So building the confidence muscle and things like that. So are you talking about real estate – I mean, there's so much – real estate investments, like this giant catch-all term. Are you talking about just owning real estate, flipping houses, buying apartment buildings, or is it all of the above?
I'm talking about anything that people have control of, and a lot of times that ends up being real estate. In my mind, it's not really the idea of flipping houses, because if we're talking about flipping houses, we're talking about a job, and we're not really talking about an investment. And so I'm thinking of things that people can actually control, that they can make decisions around, and that they're in charge of it, and they're not being secretly and kind of mischievously feed to death on the side without knowing about it. So I like things people can hold. They can hold precious metals. They can hold real estate. They can things that are authentic, real, that they can get their arms around. That's what makes sense to me. It might be a franchise, a Jimmy John's or a Subway or something like that. But it's something that people actually understand and that they're running. It's not something where they just abdicate responsibility and hope it all works out in the end. I mean, hope is something, but if smoking hopium is your strategy, you are in trouble, and it's going to be a painful idea of retirement.
Smoking hopium. That's got to be the title of one of your next books, I would think. Although it's going to be on a bookshelf far, far away from where it should be, in my guess. Oh, that's funny. Sorry about that. That's just the way my branding mind works. But you know, doing a little research for the interview, Damien, I know you have something called the Green and Red Arrows of Wealth and Poverty. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, this came up from one of my clients about a year and a half, 2 years ago. We were having a conversation when we first got started around this couple's idea of money and finance and where all their money was, and it happened to be in mutual funds. And the way that they described their experience was they would television every day and look at the news, and they'd watch the financial portion, you know, what happened in the markets today. And what they would see is, today the Dow or the S&P went up 47 points, and they'd see a green arrow, and they'd feel a little richer. They'd feel like they were prospering, and they'd know that their account, or at least they assumed that their account and their balance sheet had expanded. At the same time, they were thinking, what if it goes red tomorrow? And the next time it does go red, they're actually going to be poorer. And in their mind, it was a roller coaster, and it wasn't just in their mind, but they could feel it. They were constantly going up and down, feeling richer and poorer, and every day there was anxiety around what the markets did. There was an anxiety every time there was an election, and in the United States, it feels like we're always in an election cycle, and the question is, how is the new candidate going to impact the Wall Street roller coaster? And so there's this chaos, and there's not really a sense of ever being free from that, even if they built up $5 or $10 million, it really wouldn't matter. There was always this up and down arrow experience. And I asked them what they wanted, and they said, we want off of that thing. And I said, you want away from these arrows? And they said, yeah. And they exited, and they started taking control of their money and their financial freedom. And when they started doing that, they were actually active. And all of a sudden, when the markets crashed, we were having a conversation. I said, did you see the markets? And they said, no, we have no idea what happened. And I said, they were down 400 or 500 points. And they said, oh, yeah, it didn't matter. We really don't care about what happened to the markets anymore. And that, to me, showed that they were off the roller coaster, and it was a very freeing, peaceful moment for them.
That's really cool. I mean, a big part of what I do with some of my coaching clients is the mindset piece, and that really is – what you're doing there, because people who, you know, I talk about stop watching news, stop listening to all the crap, and, you know, stop feeding your brain negativity. But that, in a way, that's exactly what you're doing there. People that are every day, they're turning, oh my God, it's up. Oh my God, it's down. It's like they've probably got agita so bad they can't go to sleep. So that's really a mindset thing, although it's certainly backed up with the teachings that you do, right?
Yeah, and really, as much as we can talk about the idea of not paying attention to the news, or, you know, and I love that. I love the, I think Tim Ferriss talked about the information diet in a 4-hour work week. And mm-hmm. and the idea that if we stop paying attention to all this noise and all these red alerts everywhere, then we'll have a calmer, more peaceful life. I totally buy in. Only problem with that is that if our money, which is there's only two subjects that are as powerful. Well, there's two subjects, period, that are that powerful. It's probably money and sex. And if you cannot just ignore your money because it is fundamental to everything. And so to say, let's not look at the markets or the news or anything. If our money's tied up in that thing, there's no way people can just stop paying attention. There's too much fear there. So this is a way for them to actually be able to disconnect from it by not being subject to whatever happens in it.
So what is this thing that it's called the EQRP? I mean, I know you. I don't know what I saw that on your blog or whatever, but how does that work? And I think it has to do with empowering moms.
The EQRP is the Empowered Qualified Retirement Plan, and really what this is it's a checkbook that your money lives. It's where all of your retirement money, your 401k money, your IRA money. It's a way for you to take all that money and move it into a checkbook that you control. And we call it the E because it really is empowered. When you have a checkbook, it's also a little exciting, and it might be exciting, terrifying. It might be exciting, happy. It depends on your state of mind and your level of responsibility. But you literally have the control. So once you take that vehicle and you shift your assets into it, you now have a tax-free or tax-deferred type of vehicle that allows you to invest in darn near anything you want on your terms, and it's under your control. So it gives people a chance, and it's moms, it's dads, it's anybody that has any sense of responsibility over their financial life and actually wants to be financially free. It's the ultimate tool for that. It's 10 times better than any type of IRA that's out there. It's 10 times better than really anything out there it would go head to head with anything, because you have the ability to create wealth truly tax free and pass this along to, you know, the next generation by doing investing that you control without being subject to all the chaos in the markets that most people are, because they just don't realize there's an alternative.
You know, so Damien, I'm 58, and you know, I know so many people, not entrepreneurial friends that I talk to, but so many people, neighbors, everybody's always saying, well, I'll never be able to retire. I'm going to be working until I'm 70, or I'm going to be a greeter at Walmart, or, you know, I mean, that's a happy thought. And I know that, so when I lost my job when I was 41, I don't know too much about my story, but I was unemployed for 15 months. I had cancer in the middle of that. Whatever savings we had quickly went away. So literally, you know, it wasn't until about, you know, 7 years ago when my business really started taking off that we started like making up for lost time, socking things away. I feel very blessed I'm able to do that continuing today. I think we're going to be totally fine. But so many people that are just, you know, workers, and they work their tail ends off and hope to get a 2 or 3% raise every year. I mean, it really seems to me, and again, I don't want to be focusing on the negative, bring everybody down, but it seems like there's an awful lot of people in an awful lot of hurt right now. That are just simply not ready for retirement. I really don't know what's going to happen to literally millions of people, most likely.
Yeah, it's a terrifying thought if you're approaching retirement, or even if you're in your 40s and you think about the idea of retirement, because the three-legged stool that used to be set up with the pensions and the retirement plans like a 401k and then Social Security, they're being chipped away. I mean, Social Security is a joke, and the pension plans are almost non-existent unless you're with the government. And the 401k plan is based on the Wall Street stuff. So you're sitting there going, what does that look like? And for many people, it's just a terrifying thought. The only way that really shifts is when you realize it and you're told and educated that there are alternatives, and when you take responsibility. I think we're, as a society, it's gotten to be almost a sport to figure out who you can blame and who you can sue. And so we end up spending our time in that space instead of saying, if it's up to me, if it is to be, it's up to me. If my life is going to be what I want it to be, I have to create it. And the moment we start doing that, and I see this all the time with a lot of freelancers, a lot of contractors, guys that are swinging hammers and they're working their butts off, and people in general that are out there doing the right thing, living an honorable life, and they're terrified about getting older, that they're going to run out of money before they run out of life. And that really doesn't have to be the case. The thing that it has to start with is responsibility and taking the time to invest in our education, that there are other options out there, and not the options in my mind don't include just going to a quote-unquote financial advisor and saying, hey, sell me whatever it is you're pimping out from your firm. It's not that. It's saying, okay, I'm going to be responsible on a day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month basis. I'm going to make the choices, and I'm not going to just buy some financial instrument, some piece of insurance or some portfolio of stocks that some salesperson's telling me is good based on my age and my risk profile. That's nonsense. That's not responsible. That's just abdicating responsibility.
Man, I wish we had more. I could keep talking. It's pretty interesting. So, Damien, is your main business now? Let me just ask you, what is your main business? Because you've got your hands in so many things. Like, what do you spend most of your time doing these days?
Everything I do is teaching. So the main focus is in with Total Control Financial. I spend about 26 hours of my day in Total Control Financial, and I spend the other 10 hours doing other type of teaching. And then, you know, I go back in time and try to unwind this. I mean, I'm all in with the education piece, and the tool that I'm using for that is with Total Control Financial and the team that I've built up and the books that I'm writing. They're all supporting what we're doing there. It's the vehicle, and it's the options, and it's the confidence, and really helping people get around their psychology so that they can take control. And it may be in this type of tool, but really it's creating freedom within people and not externally. It's starting inside their brain and inside their heart so that they understand and believe in themselves, and they can step forward with confidence and faith, and not walking through life fearful and afraid of the future.
It's awesome. How can people? I'm sure you've really got people's interest peaked. How can people connect with you and learn more about some of your strategies?
Best place to go is to visit us at totalcontrolfinancial.com. And there's a spot there on the homepage where people can get a copy of the book on the QRP. And they can also, depending on how they like to digest things, there's always the option to digest things and consume that information on Amazon in Audible form and Kindle. So whatever works best, but definitely finding me is easiest on Total Control Financial. And we're there, we're available. I love hearing people that are listening to shows like this where they're spending time investing in their education and having them reach out and say, hey, I spent 20 minutes, I spent an hour listening and learning, and I'd like more. That's the type of person I want to spend time with and I want to invest in, because they're taking responsibility. So I hope people will reach out to me and raise their hand and say, I'm interested in more and I'd like to learn.
You know, I have a little voice in my head, and I want to ask you one more question, but he's saying, Jim, you're getting near the end of the show, and it's not a short question, but I'm going to ask it anyway because it's my show, damn it. So do you ever deal with people – do you ever deal with people who, like, you know, and whatever age, and people are feeling like, I just don't know if I have enough time. I don't know if you have a semi-short answer to this, but I'm sure you come across people, whether they're in their 30s, 40s, 50s, or even 60s. Are there things that you can do kind of no matter what the situation, or is that a bridge too high to give me an answer like that?
No, I think it's a very common thing. I certainly see that when people are in their 50s. It's very, very common to go, I don't have that much time. And then they start doing things where they're throwing mud at the wall, and they're willing to risk in really kind of crazy ways. The reality is, if you're committed and you're willing to spend the time, it doesn't matter whether you're 20 or 50 or 70. I mean, you really can create wealth pretty much overnight. You have to understand that wealth is created between your ears, and then the universe and the world is a reflection of you being in that space of the wealthy mindset and being able to be creative. It's not the old idea that it takes a certain number of years to compound interest and all this other nonsense that Wall Street and Warren Buffett have pitched is not true. You can create any amount of wealth you really want in a small period of time if you're willing to think differently and you're willing to think with like the 10X ideology and get around the right people that are also thinking differently and start doing your life differently.
That's awesome. I'm glad I asked. This has been a really fun interview. I'd love to have you back sometime if you're open to that.
I would absolutely love to. It'd be my pleasure.
Great. Damien, thank you so much. Hey, folks, that wraps up this very special interview with Damien Lupo. Thank you to Dream Business Academy for sponsoring the show. By the way, you can get $100 off your ticket price at dreambizacademy.com, dreambizacademy.com. It's kind of early, but you never know. We're actually half sold out for our event in September, so go check that out. Thank you to my editors, assistants, and all the Dream Team members that make my life so darn easy. Totally appreciate you all. I am your host, Jim Palmer, the Dream Business Coach. I am committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll see you on another great episode next week. Take care, everybody.